Manage like a rolling stone. I'm David Brancaccio. First, where's the best state to live in from the perspective of workers? Oxfam America looked at everything from minimum and median wages to paid leave to support for unions. It ranked Oregon, California, and Washington at the top. North Carolina, Mississippi, and Georgia brought up the rear. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Oxfam America researcher Caitlin Henderson says the states at the bottom have some things in common. None of them mandate a minimum wage above the federal floor of $7.25 an hour. They don't guarantee paid leave. And some restrict workers' rights to organize. And she says the fewer protections there are for workers,
the more likely there are people who live in that state that are food insecure, living in poverty, where there is a higher rate of infant mortality.
One way for workers to improve their situation is through collective bargaining. A recent analysis by consumer finance website Smart Asset found that union membership is associated with higher pay, says researcher Susanna Snyder.
Non-union workers have median weekly earnings that are just 83% of what union members earn.
The states with the highest rates of union membership and growth are Washington, Oregon, and California, the same three at the top of Oxfam's best states to work list. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And a new Gallup poll, support for labor unions is up. 71% of Americans now approve of organized labor, up from 64% prior to pandemic. This is the highest support for unions since 1965. August has come and gone, and we can now tell you the NASDAQ stock index fell 4.6% during the month. It's down 25% year to date. The S&P is down 4.2% in August, 18% year to date. When might this lousy 2022 for stocks turn around? Some say when investors get a firmer grasp on how long interest rates have to stay elevated to fight this inflation. Today's stock index futures are down minus 200 points for Dow futures, down 0.7% for the S&P. NASDAQ futures are down 1.1%. Crude oil was down in August, down in July, and down in June. This morning, crude's down more than 2%, below $88 a barrel amid concerns the world slowed by inflation, leading to these higher interest rates, will need less fossil fuel. Sri Lanka is set to receive $1.2 billion to prevent what some worry will be economic collapse. The International Monetary Fund approved the loan after a week of talks with government officials in that country's capital, Colombo. The BBC's Yogita Limai explains the bailout's requirements.
There are a number of requirements to be fulfilled before the money is actually given, including agreements from nations like China and India that Sri Lanka owes debts to. But this announcement could be the first step towards recovery for the island nation, which is suffering from acute shortages of food, fuel, and other basic supplies. Mass protests forced President Gotabaya Rajapaksa to flee the country in July. The unrest has abated under Sri Lanka's new leadership, but could gather momentum again unless conditions improve.
Yogita Limai reporting for our newsroom partner, the BBC. All right, let's take 2 seconds for one of those radio quizzes. Can you guess the band given just one musical moment? I know some of you are good at this. Ready? Hit it. Which band? Too hard, you say? Okay, one more. Same band, second clue. Now you got it right. A new 4-part documentary, My Life as a Rolling Stone, on the network Epix, explores the band's genius and the highs and the lows. Many of you guessed the band, but can you guess the business and management lessons? Watching through that lens is Marketplace's senior economics contributor and resident Rolling Stones superfan, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Hey, Chris.
You know, somebody had to do it, David.
You've actually seen the Stones, like in person?
Yes, absolutely, twice.
Okay. All right, just checking your cred here.
Okay.
So we're watching this for many reasons, but you're watching it for management lessons, like what?
Yeah, so, okay, look, so you had this documentary, then it focuses on each band member, you know, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Ronnie Wood, and the late Charlie Watts. And I focused on Jagger and Keith Richards. And, you know, like most talented people with a shared passion who get together to start a business, a software company, a media company, they had no idea how big it was going to get. During his interview, Richard says, you know, the Stones wanted to be the best blues band in London. Jagger says, no, pop band. Either way, they were ambitious and they put in the work.
I know, but they weren't framing it in terms of this was a startup business and we're going to have to purvey our product to the widest possible market. I mean, they're creative souls, but they were thrust into the role of figuring out how they're going to manage a burgeoning business.
That's right. And I think that's another lesson here. So one of the most difficult transitions any successful startup has is how do you navigate the shift from pursuing what a passionate gig to managing a big business. So the Rolling Stones, they were famous. They were performing in these sold-out venues. However, they eventually learned, and it was eventually learned, that their finances were a mess. So Jagger took charge, and he engineered a restructuring. He became the band's organizer and the controller who pays close attention to the details of a global business.
So, you know, and in many enterprises, but certainly rock and roll bands, the rest of the group will say, who made him grand emperor of the band? But in this case, Keith Richards went along with Jagger's shift in responsibilities?
Yes, you're right. I mean, so many organizations fall apart on, you know, when these egos clash. But, you know, Richards really appreciated what Jagger did for the band, but what Richards did is he kept the original vision of staying true to the music alive. Look, they had disagreements. They nearly broke up. But Jagger and Richards realized that the work, the craft, and the money was better together than it would be apart. So this ability to collaborate, to pivot, to adjust, it's key to any successful startup.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, David.
You can't always get what you want is an idea that's an economics lesson in itself, right? I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.